Why You Don't Ever Let Ron Near a Time Turner by Vi Kai. Summary. Ron is rushing trying to get Hermione's wedding anniversary present on the anniversary of the final battle when things do not go according to plan. A hop, skip, and jump through different fandoms. Author's notes. I was inspired by the prompt on Sink Into Your Eyes and the title with only 10 days remaining in the contest. I honestly don't write a lot of fanfiction, but I came up with some ideas, so I thought I'd go for it. An insane disclaimer. I do not in any way, shape, or form claim ownership of any of the characters, worlds, or transdimensional objects in this fic. They belong to Warner Brothers, BBC, Fox, J.K. Rowling, Christopher Paolini, Knopf, Scholastic, Bloomsbury, Steve Moffat, Joss Whedon, Russell T. Davies, Sci-Fi Channel, Showtime, Showtime again, and heck, since I know Richard Dean Anderson was a producer, I'll throw him in, too. If I forgot anyone, the characters' worlds and said transdimensional objects belong to the people I've forgotten as well. They would never put these characters together and write much better than I do. Prologue. Watched Daniel examining what he believed to be carvings on a piece of stone near some Scottish ruins while she was perched on the grass fiddling with the clip in her hair. This in itself was not unusual. However, every now and then Daniel would jerk his head up and look at the ruins. Daniel, what do you keep looking at? It can't be as interesting as me, and you have not looked at me even once. I want to go shopping. When you suggested we take our honeymoon in Scotland, I thought it might be fun. And then I find out you wanted to come out here to look at the ruins of some mysterious castle you think might have been built by the ancients. Well, I have had enough. We are going back to the inn where all my lovely underthings are, and you are then going to take me to London to go shopping. At the end of her speech, she stood up and started pulling his arm. Daniel let her pull him up. Okay, Vala, we can go to London now. Daniel was trying to hide his grin. You're right. This was supposed to be our honeymoon, and I know you really don't enjoy old ruins as much as me. He pulled her into a quick embrace and pecked her pouting lips. At least not when there isn't any treasure involved. Vala started while dragging Daniel toward the jeep that was parked near the road. Daniel heard a wheezing sound off toward the nearby lake, but shook it off. He wanted to get back to the inn, too, and spend time with his new wife. He'd been under too much stress lately. Hearing mysterious sounds and seeing ruins magically turn into castles occupied by robe-wearing individuals was a little crazy-sounding. Jack was right. He did need a real vacation. After they got into the jeep, Vala grabbed Daniel's head and pulled him into a very passionate kiss. After all, it wasn't very often he gave in to her so easily. Neither noticed the mist that seemed to form just around their car and dissipate 20 minutes later when they drove away toward the village to continue their honeymoon unaware of the events that they had almost been involved in.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, near the lake, an old-fashioned police box appeared. No one really noticed it, or the three companions that exited the rather small box. "Doctor, I don't like my hair getting burnt off," a rather angry redhead spouted. "Did you steal those dragon eggs?" A lanky man with an impressive nose stood next to her, looking slightly shorter than her boot-wearing form. "It was a little mean. They were her babies."
"Oh, come on, Pons," a bow-tie-wearing man answered back, addressing the couple. "That was not a good dragon, and those weren't her eggs. She was a Chinese fireball. These eggs belonged to a Hebridean black and a Peruvian viper tooth. They would not have survived with her. I'm just going to get the gamekeeper here at the school to take care of them. Where is his hut?"
"School? What school? All I see are a pile of old rocks. And what planet are we on exactly?"
Amy Pond was not about to let go of her annoyance just yet. Running away from an angry dragon wasn't very different from their usual adventures, but her favorite jacket had gotten ruined by the fire and her hair had gotten singed. She walked angrily after the doctor, who, ambling around looking for Mysterious Hut, not listening to a word she was saying. Rory just stuck his hands in his pockets and sighed. He wasn't about to get between his wife and anyone she was angry at. That was a good way to end up in the top bunk. She wasn't the only red-headed woman that was annoyed at the moment. Ginny Potter was chasing after her brother, who was trying to get off Hogwarts grounds as quickly as possible so he could apparate to Diagon Alley. All Ron needed was 3 bloody hours to get a present for Hermione. It was their anniversary, and the next day, and he had borrowed her time turner so he would be able to sneak off and get the bracelet he'd already picked out. Ginny had caught him with it in his hands as he walked out of school, supposedly to go visit Hagrid. She immediately started going off on something, but Ron didn't care. If he didn't have a present for Hermione the next day, it wouldn't be Hermione that cared so much, but he would never hear the end of it from George. He had been torturing Ron all week at the shop, keeping him past closing time for the jewelry shop, and making sure Ron couldn't get away to get Hermione's bracelet. He was trying very hard to shut out what his sister was saying as they neared Dumbledore's tomb.
"Ronald! Aren't you listening to me? Hermione has noticed something about the time turners since the battle at the Ministry. Don't you ever listen to what she's talking about? Give me the time turner!"
Ginny couldn't believe Ron. Actually, yes she could. She knew her brother had a gift at not listening to the women in his life, with the possible exception of his baby girl. But she had to get that time turner away from him for his own safety.
"Ron, if you don't hand that time turner over to me right now, you will leave me with no other choice."
Hermione stared at his back as he kept walking on the path by the lake. She took her wand out of its holster and said one word, "Expelliarmus!" and watched as Ron turned and the hourglass necklace leapt out of Ron's hand. But instead of sailing toward her outstretched hand, it fell toward the white marble sarcophagus that held Dumbledore's remains. They both watched as the glass shattered, spilling sand, and the tomb disappeared.
"I think we might be in trouble," said Ron, staring at the empty dais.
Chapter 2. Or where many discussions take place, and then the captain arrives. Amy was still more than a little upset at the doctor, but she was enjoying the scenery. It reminded her of home a little, although she had no idea why. It was nothing like Ledworth. Who knew when or where they were? Which reminded her, "Doctor! Doctor!" At Amy's yell, the doctor twirled around slightly, leaning at the side as to not fall over.
"Yes, Amelia, what can I do for you?"
Rory stood next to his wife and rolled his eyes.
"I think Amy wants to know where we are, Doctor. And for that matter, so would I."
His hands in his pockets, he raised his eyebrows at the doctor, but held
back from rolling his eyes again as the doctor smiled. "Oh, you mean I didn't tell you? Well, Amelia Pond, welcome home! You're in Scotland, of course, 3 years and 2 months before your wedding, to be exact." But then things really got confusing.
"Yes, I was just wondering that myself," said a strange man in a bow tie. He had waltzed up with two other people. They all looked to be approximately the same age as Harry, but he recognized something in the bow tie man's eyes, something that put Harry on edge. He drew his wand and held it casually at his side.
"Who are you?" The others noticed Harry's stance and copied his actions. Amy and Rory, on the other hand, were looking at someone other than Harry.
"Neville Longbottom?"
Rory held his head to the side and walked past the doctor, who looked surprised at the actions of his companions. Neville, for his part, looked taken aback at first, and then started laughing.
"Rory Williams? Amy Pond, what are you doing at Hogwarts? Wait, better question, how are you at Hogwarts? You don't have any magic, do you?"
Amy and Rory looked flabbergasted. Harry still glared at the doctor, but relaxed a little. Ron, Ginny, and Hermione looked bewildered, and Luna looked as if perfect strangers wandering on the Hogwarts grounds every day.
"Magic? What are you talking about, Neville? Of course me and Rory don't have magic."
But just then, Amy saw something out of the corner of her eye.
"What's that? Where'd that castle come from? Doctor, what is going on?"
Amy walked up to Rory and grasped his hand.
"Yes, right then. Amy, Rory, magic exists, and not just on other planets, but in your own backyard. It is closely tied to physics and other sciences, but the ties between the two are never closely examined due to the separation of your two communities, the witches and wizards, as your friend Neville would put it, the muggles. Don't really like that word, muggles, a little racist that, but it does tend to stick."
Harry, who had been listening to the man, who was apparently a doctor, rambled on, had finally had enough. He had better control over his temper these days, but it was being tested.
"Enough! Who are you? What are you doing here, and what the bloody hell happened to Dumbledore's tomb?"
The last question was thrown out at Ginny and Ron. Ginny wouldn't normally let her husband get away with yelling at her, but she understood the situation and might just call for it a little.
"Well, I don't know who the man dressed like Slughorn is, but this is Rory Williams and Amy Pond. They grew up near me in the village of Ledworth. We went to primary school together,"
Neville spoke up for his old friends. They nervously smiled at Neville, but the companions were still a little apprehensive at their situation. It was a lot to take in. And the doctor was being awfully still with that thick stick trained on him.
"Slughorn? I don't look like a Slughorn. They're horrible creatures. And anyway, bow ties are cool. I am the doctor, and I think considering the location, the year, and that scar, you must be Harry Potter. I know Jo based the stories on her knowledge of the wizarding world as a squib, but she really did a remarkable job of describing all of you. So you're Guinevere Weasley, Potter, Ronald Weasley, Hermione Granger Weasley, Luna Lovegood, and Neville Longbottom."
Harry hung his head.
"See, Hermione? I knew I should never have allowed that series to be written. Now I can't go anywhere in the magical or muggle world without being recognized. And poor Dudley, his name isn't that uncommon, but with his physique, he gets a lot of ribbing at work all the time."
Harry turned to glare at Hermione. He was still a little on edge about the strangers, but his instincts were saying he could trust that fellow man. He had seen as much or more horror as Harry.
"Well, how was I to know that the effort to throw the muggles off the scent of the wizarding world would backfire this much? The books weren't supposed to become an international bestsellers.
Anyway, we still need to find out what happened to Dumbledore's tomb." She turned politely to look at the Weasley siblings, who were being exceedingly quiet. Finally, Ron fessed up to his wife.
"I wanted to borrow your time, Tonto Hermione. I need to make a quick pop into Diagon Alley without missing the ceremonies. Ginny saw and was yelling at me, but I ignored her. She tried to disarm me, and the time turner hit Dumbledore's tomb, and..." He gestured ineffectively toward the dais. "I was trying to tell you that the time turner was malfunctioning. It has been ever since the battle at the Ministry. Anyway, I did try and disarm the idiot, but it didn't react quite right. It flew away from both of us instead of into my hand."
At this explanation, Hermione started casting diagnostic spells on the dais, and the doctor pulled out a sonic screwdriver, doing the same.
"I can't tell where it went, or for that matter, when it went. I had a feeling after the control hourglass was broken when I was 16, all the remaining time turners might act a little funny. To my best guess, when Ginny cast the spell on the time turner, instead of moving it to her hand, it reacted to the time turner's magic to move it through time and space. I have no way of knowing where or when it ended up.
Shattering on the dais just meant it took the tomb with it. Hermione's eyes started to tear up, and Ron, of course, felt like the worst git on the planet. He had never meant for his quest to get her anniversary present to turn out like this. Doctor, do you think with the readings you took up with the Sonic, the TARDIS might be able to find the tomb? Rory didn't exactly know what was going on, but with the look on his old friend Neville's face and the stateliness of the dais, he felt they had lost the remains of someone important to them. Yes, Roy, I think that might just work. Now, I'm assuming this is Albus Dumbledore's tomb? Much too important to just disappear. You're right to say it would cause a bit of a panic, but don't worry, we will get it back. The magical bunch didn't exactly look convinced, but with prompting from Rory, Amy, and the Doctor, they followed them to the TARDIS, and didn't even stop to consider going in. The Doctor was slightly disappointed to the reactions to the interior of the TARDIS, but it was only to be expected. After all, it wasn't the first time they'd been somewhere that was bigger on the inside than on the out. The Doctor put his Sonic in a port on the control panel and started his crazy dance around to pilot the TARDIS. Hermione didn't quite understand who the Doctor was or how he could find the missing tomb, but was noticing the Doctor's movements were projecting mathematical formulas onto the screen. She understood a little of it and asked the Doctor some pointed questions about the trajectory. Surprised, but pleased, the Doctor began a highly technical conversation with Hermione about the physics behind moving through four dimensions. The rest looked at the two and rolled their eyes. Come on, let's go to the kitchen and I'll explain a little bit more about, well, everything, and you can explain how we grew up next to a wizard and never knew it while we have a pot of tea. Amy motioned for them to follow, and they all trudged down to the hallways. Harry was reminded of the burrow and how it was slightly confusing to maneuver. But he had a feeling the inside of the TARDIS was much, much larger. Once they got there and were settled around a table that now seated 10, they got down to the discussing matters. All right, then. I'm Amy Pond, and this is my husband, Rory Williams. You finally got up the courage, then. Congratulations, mate! Neville, who was sitting on Rory's other side, slapped him on the back. Actually, Nev, Mel's spilled the beans first. After secondary, which, technically speaking, we're finishing up right now in Lidsworth. Amy informed Neville, who started chuckling, and Rory blushed. Anyway, we travel with the Doctor, who's a time-traveling alien called Time Lord, so we're actually from 3 years in your future, give or take a few months. Amy paused, waiting for their reactions. Harry, who grew up with the Dursleys, was a little surprised, but after finding about magic when he was 11, was less shocked by the news than one would think. After all, if magic was real, why not aliens? The others just looked bewildered. Neville, who, since he knew Rory and Amy previously, asked the question that Amy was not expecting. Amy, what are aliens? Amy looked a little stunned herself. How could anyone not know what aliens were? They're people from other planets, but you had to know that, right, Neville? Stories about aliens are all over the telly and in books. Harry could see that this was going to go into the magical explanation portion of things, so he took over. Amy, Neville might have gone to what we call muggle school as a kid, but at home he lived as a wizard. They don't use technology. They don't need it. They use magic for things such as washing clothes and dishes, cooking food, transportation. Some have cars, but only a few, and those cars are not what you would call normal. I doubt my wife or brother Neville or Luna have ever been to a movie. I grew up with a muggle family, so I know more about science and science fiction than they do. Amy nodded, understanding a little more about it. Anyway, so the Doctor's from another planet, and he can travel through time? Harry prompted Amy to continue, but it was Rory who picked it up. Amy first met the Doctor when she was 7 years old. He looked exactly as he does now. The next time she saw him was when she was 20, and then again when she was 21. I met him the second time. She traveled with him a bit on her own, and then I joined them. We got separated, as traveling through time and space can be a tad dangerous, but we met up again eventually. We know the Doctor's over 900 years old, and that he is the last of his kind. He kind of adopted Earth and protects it from the less than savory of the universe. Again, the witches and wizards nodded, and seemed to be take this in stride, as they knew people on their own planet lived near that long. Now, Neville, what's this about being a wizard, and why do you never tell us? Amy crossed her arms and glared at Neville. I'm not allowed to tell muggles about the existence of magic, Amy. It's too dangerous. It would cause a panic. A small percentage of people are born with magic. Most have a witch, wizard, or both as parents. Some, like Hermione, don't know exactly where her magic came from. Probably somewhere in her family there was a witch or wizard, but Neville shrugged and went on. I lived with my grandmother, which you know, and had little interaction with muggles outside of school.
I learned some things about Muggle technology, but honestly, I've forgotten most of it because I haven't been around it in 14 years. After I left Ledworth, I started school at Hogwarts and met Harry, Hermione, Ron, Ginny, and Luna. We had a bit of trouble for some years that got wrapped up 8 years ago. Professor Dumbledore was the greatest and most powerful wizard of the age and sacrificed himself to help end the troubles. It's his tomb that has disappeared, and unless we can get the tomb back very, very quickly, panic will break out. The anniversary ceremonies at the end of the troubles always occur at the tomb. I think that's everything pertinent. Rory and Amy looked at each other, and the others recognized a silent conversation was going on. Finally, Rory motioned Amy to go on, and she smiled wickedly. So, Nev, you are actually the Neville Longbottom from the books? All of that stuff happened? You falling off that broom, owning a toad, and being pushed off of a pier in Blackpool actually happened? Neville let his head fall to the table. Merlin, Amy was not the person he would have wanted to know about all of that. The others chuckled, but Harry put a hand up. Yes, Amy. Everything in the books actually happened. The meaning behind Harry's words sank in, and Amy cringed. Sorry, just wanted to tease Neville a bit. It's okay, but wait and read the 7th book when it comes out in a few months. Then you'll know a lot more about what happened and why we don't like talking about it, Ginny said, smiling at her fellow Reddit. Rory and Amy looked chagrined. Actually, remember? We're from 2010. We've read it already. In fact, we know what you name all your children. At that, all those seated at the table burst out laughing. Don't tell Hermione that. She'd never stop asking what we name our next child. You wouldn't believe the rows we've had over Rose's name. Ginny and Harry groaned. We had to live with the fights for months. Please don't tell Hermione. Ginny begged toward Amy and Rory, who just smiled. Don't tell me what? Oh, never mind. The doctor says we have to make a pit stop in Cardiff to charge up the TARDIS. Something about a rift? He said it should only take a minute. Amy and Rory instantly grabbed hold of the table and braced themselves while the others looked at them curiously. They found out in a minute why, as all of them were on the floor rubbing various bruised body parts. Amy and Rory stood from their chairs and helped up Neville and Luna while the others scrambled to their feet. I'm guessing the landings are always that rough? Amy glanced at Rory, who smiled quickly. Pretty much. They all filed out of the kitchen and headed back to the control room. When they arrived, they noticed a new man in the room. He was wearing an old-fashioned trench coat and was quite handsome. He also seemed to be American based on his accent. He seemed to be on friendly terms with the doctor, but Harry noticed even Rory and Amy seemed to be a bit confused with the new arrival. Hello there! I'm Captain Jack Harkness. Doctor, you never mentioned you had so many spectacular-looking new traveling companions! Jack leaned over the closest to the bunch, which happened to be Hermione, and gently grasped her hand to give it a light kiss. Jack, don't. Anyway, only the two over there are my companions. He gestured over to the rest. I picked them up at Hogwarts. They're on a bit of a fix caused by magic gone awry. Jack's face lit up. Really? Hogwarts? You don't say? He looked closer at the group in front of him. You must be Harry Potter. And you, of course, are Ginny, full name Genova. Ginny didn't even bother correcting him. It just wasn't worth it anymore. Oh, Ron, Hermione, even Neville and Luna? Boy, Doctor, when you pick up supposedly fictional characters from a book, you don't skimp. I suppose, then, all the married couples are off limits. What about you, Neville and Luna? You're not married yet. Want to give it a go? Neville's face lit up to the exact shade of a tomato. Luna stared back at the captain and then responded in a way only Luna could. Captain, let me check your expert levels and then I will decide. She pulled out some glasses that looked remarkably like old 3D glasses and put them on. Doctor looked a little shocked and then smiled. Well, Captain Harkness, you don't seem to have any experts, but I do seem to see quite a few around you, Doctor. Anyway, Captain Harkness, I don't believe it would be wise to engage in sexual relations with you as you are currently grieving. Maybe in a few years. The Hogwarts bunch just shook their heads and smiled at Luna. Jack's smile, though, slid off his face, and Amy and Rory noticed the pain that had been hidden. But soon enough, the mask was back on. The doctor, however, was jumping up and down. Ooh, so the wizards have managed to make glasses that detect void particles. Never heard them referred to as Raxperts before, but I suppose that's a good...
a name for any of for the particles. Anyway, I suppose we need to be on our way. Jack, do you want to come along? We are locating and returning the tomb of Albus Dumbledore."
The doctor looked at Jack. He had not been so unaware of what had been occurring in Jack's life. The last time he had seen him had been the saddest he'd ever seen Jack. He could probably use a distraction.
"Really? Albus Dumbledore? I'd always wanted to meet him. Interesting fellow, Dumbledore. We had some things in common, or so I hear. Sure, why not? After being turned mortal and then immortal again, and dragging Gwen back into things, I should probably make myself sparse."
He took off his jacket and sat down on the pilot's chair.
"By the way, Doc, love what you did with the TARDIS, but tell me, the glass floors, do they ever cause you problems when you're working on the old girl?"
The doctor looked over at Amy and Rory, who both blushed, and looked anywhere but at a person. The doctor turned, scratching his head.
"Well, no problems, really."
Jack burst out laughing.
"I'm sure. So, Doc, where are we headed to?"
"I think I'd like to know that, too," said Harry, who, along with the rest of the non-TARDIS regulars, had been quiet up to that point, just trying to absorb the personalities of the two very unusual men.
"Right, we are headed to the year 2518, to a planet called Cianon. It's been colonized by humans, but the galaxy has been forgotten by the rest of humans in the universe, and in return, they do not realize there are other humans out there and have completely forgotten about the existence of other species. You'll need to change your clothes to be a little more acceptable. Jack, you're fine in what you're wearing, but I wouldn't wear the coat. It might provoke some of the locals. The rest of you can find clothing in the TARDIS with wardrobe. Amy, Rory, if you could show them the way, and we'll be off."
"So the name of the planet is Cianon. Sounds rather Chinese to me. It would explain this dress." Ginny, Hermione, and Luna and Amy stood in the women's section of the wardrobe, putting on the dresses they'd found there. Hermione was fingering the brocade of her dress.
"You're probably right, Hermione. I wonder what the men are wearing. The doctor said what Jack was wearing was fine. I love it when Harry's in a muggle suit. That's how little Albus was conceived."
Ginny grinned wickedly at the other three. Amy grinned back.
"You should see Rory and Centurion get up. I made him wear it on our wedding night. I love the TARDIS. It has the best wardrobe in the universe."
Hermione and Ginny laughed while Luna gazed into the distance of the room.
"I wonder what matter the TARDIS converts to make the clothing. Something does not come from nothing, after all."
Luna's comment had Ginny giggling even harder, with Amy joining in. Hermione's face was struck dumb. She'd never heard a witch use scientific terms before, and do it correctly, not to mention a very rational question coming from Luna.
"Hermione, do you always forget that Luna was in Ravenclaw?"
Ginny grinned at Hermione, and they gathered their skirts to walk to the door. The men were waiting for them on the other side, having finished changing long before into crisp suits with high collars and now buttons on the jackets. Each of the men held out an arm for their wife, or friend in the case of Neville and Luna, and hastily made their way back to the control room, where they immediately followed Amy and Rory's lead by grabbing hold of something to steady themselves for the landing. This time, everyone managed to stay standing. Jack made a show of leering at everyone until Amy started leering back.
"Well, hello there. Like what you see?"
Rory hit his forehead and grabbed his wife's arms. Jack smiled a true smile.
"I think I like this one, Doc."
"Yes, indeed, I think I do."
The doctor just looked away and opened the doors.
"Welcome to Cianon."
And out they walked into the surprised path of two very shocked citizens.
"Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me." "There's no place I can see since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me."
Minutes earlier. "Come on now, Honora. I know that you said this is what you want, but is this really what you want? To give up your license? We could just go on being together without you taking any clients. Once you're out, you're out.
Inara smiled and placed a hand on Mal's arm. It could be so sweet sometimes. And besides, you might get sick of living on Serenity with so little influx of credits.
Except when he is being so Shenma stupid. Mal, I do not want to take clients anymore. It is not right for who I am now and who I want to be. And who I want to be is your wife. Now, I know that you've been married before, but I have not and never thought to be. The guild makes allowances for those of us who wish to leave the guild to begin a family, and I wish to do so with you.
She turned toward him as she said this last part, realizing this moment was unusual between them, and cupped his cheek. He reached up and took his hand in hers. I want to live with you like Wash and Zoe did. I don't want one of us to die and leave the other wondering about what might have been.
Inara, I... Welcome to Sinnon! Someone proclaimed to his right.
And he turned to look as 10 people walked out of a blue telephone box that looked like a remnant of Earth that was. He didn't know exactly what was going on, but he knew 10 people could not fit into that Goran box.
Who the Shusang D.U. are you? And how did you fit in that... their box?
Mal had his gun out and pointed at the group while nodding toward the TARDIS.
Oh, why are there always guns? I am the Doctor and these are my friends.
He motioned for Jack to hide the gun he had been about to pull out.
As for now, we fit into the box. Well, it's experimental. That's right, it's a new experimental tourist ship. We're on its maiden voyage as such, and I must ask you to keep it quiet. We don't want our competition to find out about it. Hush, hush, and all that.
Mal kept his eyes on the Doctor and lowered his gun.
Well, that was Fuzai de Goshi. But I don't have no quarrel with you, so we will be on our way. I've had enough of doctors anyway.
He and Inara started to walk around the group.
Wait, maybe you can help us.
Harry pushed the doctor aside, who looked mildly offended. Something very important has gone missing, and we think it ended up somewhere on this planet. Do you have any way of finding out if something sort of appeared out of nowhere?
Harry finished with a cringe, knowing he sounded a little crazy.
Inara, however, saw something in the young green-eyed man, the doctor, and the man who had almost pulled his weapon that she often saw in Mal, a goodness of spirit which had been pulled through the mud. She touched Mal's arms. We could have Zoe search the cortex on Serenity. That wouldn't be that difficult. Mal looked into Inara's eyes and rolled a sigh.
Goramit, woman. All right,
he pronounced, turning back toward the group of well-dressed people. What is it that you're looking for, and I'll have my first mate search the cortex? The witches and wizards all smiled. Finally, they were making progress at fixing this mess. A large white marble tomb. No one should be able to open it.
I placed enough bloody wards on it after the final battle, thought Harry.
Mal pulled out a communications device from his belt and waved Serenity.
We've run into some people have lost something big. Can you look to see if anybody's chatting up on the cortex about a large white marble tomb on Sinnon coming out of nowhere?
Mal waited for a response, but was surprised to hear River when he knew he'd left Zoe at the helm.
No need, Captain. I can tell Harry Potter and the Doctor as well as the others where to go. It's near the eldest oak tree in the valley to the east of your location. You will find what you are looking for there. And, Captain, Zoe is throwing up again. That's why I'm at the helm.
The Doctor looked startled at the girl's voice speaking so knowingly about him. But he'd heard of the experiments the government of this galaxy had been doing on teenagers and children. His anger grew, but then calmed. Obviously, this girl was no longer being experimented on, and the name Serenity rang a bell. He'd have to look at the history for this planet after he got back on the TARDIS. Harry, however, had a different reaction.
Has everyone in the entire universe read those bloody books? Now how did she know who I was from wherever she's at? Can she see me?
Ron reached over and patted him on the shoulder.
Look at it this way, mate. After your little trip, you can go back to England and pretend that everyone, outside of the Wizarding World, that is, will forget about you for the newest book series. Didn't it help when those vampire books came out?
Harry just hung his head, and all the others just laughed. Mal and Inara just looked at the young men and women, having no idea what they were talking about.
Well, then, that's your answer. We'll be off, then.
Mal started to walk away, but this time Inara stopped him. We'd be happy to show you the way to where you need to go. I grew up here and would be more than happy to guide you. It was Mal's turn to hang his head. He may have made a show of talking Inara out of resigning her license, but he really wanted her to do it before she could change her mind. All right, but let's go. We have stuff we need to do, Mel stated, and then started marching down the road. Inara smiled. I would say that he doesn't mean to be rude, but that would be a lie. My name is Inara Sarah, and that is my fiancé, Captain Malcolm Reynolds. Let's go catch up with him. We can talk more on the way. As the doctor walked, he introduced everyone. This is Captain Jack Harkness, but you can just call him Jack to avoid confusion. This is Ronald Weasley and Hermione Granger Weasley. You met Harry, and this is his wife, I think we'll just call you Cyril this time, Ginny. The doctor winked, and Ginny facepalmed as she realized the doctor had been mispronouncing her name on purpose, but wondered why he stopped before calling her Jenny. Anyways, to finish up, this is Neville Longbottom, Luna Lovegood, and Roy and Amy Pond. Actually, our last name is Williams, Rory spoke up. No, it's not Roy, and you know it. Rory just shook his head. I don't know why I bother. Amy put an arm around him as to comfort him. I don't know either, Rory. You might as well face it. Our children are going to be pawns, and if you want the same last name as our children, you are just going to have to change your name. Their conversation was rather stilted. As much as Inara tried to keep it up, as no one knew what else they could tell her after introducing themselves. Questions such as, where are you from, were answered vaguely with far away. Many times she had caught the younger ones looking at the doctor as if trying to see what they could say. Sometimes he would nod, but mostly he shook his head and then smiled at Inara and turned the conversation toward the architecture and plant life in the area. At one point, the young woman called Hermione asked after Zoe. Is everything all right with Zoe? I think the girl said she said she'd been sick? Inara looked at the young woman's face and smiled sadly. She's fine, just with child. And River is the name of the young woman who spoke to us. The doctor paused just a half a second at the name River, but then continued on as if it meant nothing. That's wonderful! I hope everything is going well, besides the morning sickness, that is. Hermione noticed the sadness in the response, but chose not to comment on it, and preempted the insensitive remark from Ron with an elbow to the ribs. Inara noticed the move and held back a chuckle. Yes, our ship's doctor says everything is progressing normally, but here we are. The tree which River spoke of stands right over there. Mal was a little ways ahead of her and saw the marble tomb. He also saw a man with long red hair sitting on it as well. The sun glinted brightly off the marble, surely attracting every thief and less than savory type within 10 miles. He put his hand on his gun just in case of trouble. Who's that on the tomb? Neville questioned, but turned and saw the pale faces of Harry, Ron, and Hermione. The rest of them had never read Reader Skeeter's biography of Dumbledore, and therefore had never seen the picture of a young Albus Dumbledore. The doctor quickly gained an understanding of what had happened. The terraforming energy! He slapped his head and turned a quick circle. It must have combined with the leftover time energy, reviving him and de-aging him. Neville and Ginny gaped at him. You mean... Ginny started, but was cut off by Luna, who had passed Mal and Inora to walk straight up to the man with red hair and dressed in robes. Hello, Professor Dumbledore. The man's blue eyes twinkled merrily at the blonde young woman before him. Hello, Miss Lovegood, and how are you on this fine day? Even the doctor was a little surprised at the normality of the conversation. Quite well, but probably not as good as you. The time magic would have revived you into perfect health. My dear girl, you are a wonder. Yes, I do seem to be in perfect health, as well as 130 years or so younger. Would anyone care to explain how this occurred and where we are? The group looked at each other, but none began to talk, not knowing where to start. Well, you're on CNN. My name's Captain Malcolm Reynolds, and this is my wife-to-be, Inara Sarah. We were helping these folks, who you seem to be familiar with finding this here tomb. Apparently they found a bit more than that, but other than... that, we're newcomers to this little party. Mal put in, wanting to be done with the mess. Thank you, Captain. My name is Albus Dumbledore, and I am grateful for your help. Something which had been gnawing at Inara since she had first heard Harry's name and the outburst shortly after finally taking place. And then everyone forgot there'd been other humans. A lot of Earth's history was lost by this particular group, and so they also forgot aliens exist too.
But that will all change in a few years when a ship from another planet, a part of the universe, heads its way over here. Mal still held his gun on the group of travelers. Ginny, however, had had enough. She wanted to get home to her two children. She knew when she got back she would have only been gone for a few minutes, but Albus was just an infant, and James was probably driving his poor granny crazy by now. And she just missed her children. I'm guessing you want proof, right? At their nods, she pulled out her wand and held it toward Professor Dumbledore, who looked a little startled. Here's your proof, she said, a spell, and transfigured Dumbledore's clothing to something similar to what the men were wearing. Jack Wolf whistled.
Looking good, Professor!
Dumbledore's ears pinked, but there was no other visible reaction. Thank you, my good man. What might your name be? We have yet to be introduced. Captain Jack Harkness, Professor, I've always wanted to meet you. He held out a hand which Dumbledore took and shook. Ah, yes, my friend Nicholas told me about you. Jack's eyebrows shot up. Really? I sought him out as soon as I heard of him. I thought he might be able to help me with my problem. I know, my dear boy. He was very upset he could not help you. It's okay. I've learned to live with it, but just so you know, we are about the same age, and, well, since you haven't had a chance to look in the mirror, you hardly look older than me. He smirked, and Dumbledore heard a few more giggles coming from a few of his former students. Sheng Wu Shen, Mal muttered under his breath. He had stowed his pistol out of shock. Inara seemed to be handling it a bit more gracefully, but every now and then would utter something about stories coming to life and wondering if a giant smoking caterpillar would appear soon, too. Wonderful, but as soon as I still don't know where we are, why don't you fill me in, Captain Harkness, and then we can be moving along. Professor Dumbledore stood up and pulled out the Elder Wand and levitated the tomb with nary a word. Jack smiled and decided to answer his question. Two of your former students managed to have an accident with a time-turner? He glanced over at Hermione, who nodded. It shattered over your tomb, and you got instantly transported to the planet of Sinon, which is not in your galaxy, and through time to the year 2518. Fortunately, the doctor happened to be around and offered to help them retrieve the tomb, only to find you here as well. Dumbledore nodded and then glanced at the doctor. It's lovely to be in the presence of Merlin. The other witches and wizards stopped walking at once and alternated between staring at Dumbledore and the doctor. Figured that one out, did you? What gave it away? I thought I did a pretty good job of making my sonic look like a wand. At first, anyway. He pulled at the bow tie at his neck and gave Dumbledore a sideways glance. You slipped occasionally in new scientific terms. Nothing that the majority of the wizarding world would notice, but I have studied muggle works of science as well. I believe Miss Granger, or should I say Mrs. Weasley, would have been able to figure it out as well had she the materials I did. The doctor nodded in response and smiled wildly, clapping his hands once. I do love it when you humans are clever. Dumbledore gave him a polite smile back. This little slip of the doctor's was noticed by everyone, including Mel and Inara, but they decided they had had enough of mind-blowing revelations and would ignore that one. Shortly, they arrived back at the TARDIS, where Mal took one look at the blue box and another at the marble tomb and said, I don't think that's gonna fit in there. The doctor just smiled and snapped his fingers, and both doors at the front of the TARDIS opened. Mal and Inara caught enough of a glance to see an impossibly spacious interior before the floating marble tomb blocked their view. The doctor ran in and did a little search on the TARDIS's database about Serenity and its crew. He frowned a little, and then found something quite funny. The rest of the group had entered the TARDIS, having said their goodbyes to Mal and Inara. The doctor leaned out as he closed the doors. Thanks for all your help. Good luck with the future. You'll be hearing about magic again in about 13 years if you start not believing. Bye now! And with that, he shut the door. Inara and Mal watched as the blue box disappeared before their eyes. They looked at each other for 1 minute, before both silently deciding to disregard the entire event. It was time to break a commitment. In the TARDIS, Amy and Rory headed straight up for their room, too tired from the dragon adventure and then all of this to stay up any longer. The witches and wizards all took up spots around the room. Professor Dumbledore stood next to Jack, and it looked as if there was a serious discussion until Jack got a sly smile on his face. Well, Professor, would you like to go have some tea and possibly discuss some things we have in common? I would indeed, good sir, but I believe first we have to decide where I'm going. Isn't that right, Doctor? Harry and the others all looked up at this, but the Doctor just nodded. But Professor Dumbledore, won't you be coming back with us? Harry asked quietly. He had not expected to find his mentor alive, but now wished he had his guidance again in his
fame-filled life. No, Harry, my dear boy, my time on Earth has passed, and if I return, it would cause many problems. Anyway, I would never be able to have a new life on Earth, and I feel it's time for a new life. Harry nodded. He didn't like it, but he did understand. You're right, as always, Professor Dumbledore. I think I found you a planet where you can settle happily. It's very isolated, and the humans there have managed to regress to a feudal society with no technology. Magic is an accepted thing there, but rare, and never practiced with a wand. I don't think you would be able to make a living as a teacher there, Dumbledore nodded and thought for a moment. I believe that will do nicely. Thank you, Doctor. I've always wanted to try my hand as an illuminator. The Doctor smiled. He loved it when things worked out. There's also a large race of intelligence dragons in this land. I recently liberated 2 eggs and would appreciate it if you located the right place for them for me. He turned his back to the console and was hitting at the display screen. That would be no problem. Now, what is this beautiful ship going to give me as an identity? Your name's Holcomb, and you are moving to Quasta Frontierum. Simple enough to create an identity for this kind of society who really just takes your word for it. The Doctor shrugged, and Dumbledore's eyes twinkled before turning back to the captain. Shall we go have that tea, then, Captain? Jack smiled and led the way into the passageway. The witches and wizards talked for a little while, but were just quiet as time went by. The Doctor went to join the Captain and Dumbledore for some tea while flying through the vortex. Ron got up to find the restroom, but returned minutes later, looking pale and ill. Hermione pulled him down next to her and stroked his forehead. Are you all right, Ron? What happened? Asked Harry when he knelt beside Ron. I was looking for the bathroom when I opened a door. It was filled with mist. Thank Merlin for the mist. But there were noises. Noises I never want to hear again. He shook his head, and the others were still worried. What types of things could be lurking in this giant ship? The captain and Professor Dumbledore. What about them, Ron? Are they in trouble? Ginny asked fervently. No. He swallowed. Then, trying not to remember, they were having... He motioned with his hands. Fun. He finished lamely. But he needn't have worried. All of his friends immediately understood. Oh, Ron! Well, a bit disturbing and... Very surprising. Really, you had us all worried. Hermione stopped stroking her husband's forehead. While it was funny on one hand, none of them really wanted to picture Professor Dumbledore having any sort of romantic liaison. They silently decided not to discuss it. After about 30 minutes, the Doctor came back and pushed a few buttons on his console. Jack and Dumbledore walked back into the console room with not a hair out of place. Dumbledore's former students could barely look at him without blushing, but each managed to hug the man. He had changed into some rough-looking medieval garb, which had been laid out when it had been time to get redressed. Don't worry, we'll see each other in the next life. Harry and the others nodded, and they all watched as Dumbledore took the eggs and walked out the doors. The Doctor immediately put them back into the vortex to give them a little more time. A few hours later, Amy and Rory came out to find everyone grabbing something. This time it was Amy and Rory who ended up on the floor. The Doctor opened the doors again, and saw they were exactly where and when they were supposed to be. He did like it when he and the TARDIS got it right. All right, everyone, we're back at Hogwarts. Final stop for anyone not staying. Ron, Hermione, and Harry and Ginny immediately scrambled to the door, wanting to get back to their children. They did pause long enough to levitate the marble tomb back to its place on the dais. Neville and Luna each looked at the other, and then looked at the Doctor. It's up to you. I would love to have you aboard, even though it would only be a short time with the pair of you. Too many responsibilities and ties. The Doctor leaned back against the console and crossed his legs. Neville nodded and then turned toward Harry. Consider this my resignation from the Oracle, beginning immediately. Harry blanched. What? Neville, please don't! Neville just waved his hand at Harry to stop him. I'm not happy here, Harry. And maybe after a year or two I might just find myself a place teaching. I really don't know. Harry nodded his acceptance and hugged Neville farewell. I'm going too. I wouldn't want to miss all those new animals. Luna hugged each of them in turn as well, and with that, Luna and Neville joined Amy, Rory, and the Doctor as time travelers extraordinaire. After they watched the TARDIS disappear, Harry turned to the others. We never speak of this ever again where people might hear us. The others nodded, and then they walked back up to the castle, half listening for that sound again, bringing home their two friends.
reader's notes. Well, I stumbled a lot, and I know this is not a perfect audio recording, and please ignore any ambient noises. I live in an apartment complex. I think that should explain everything. This was a fic that I wrote for a contest on Sink Into Your Eyes several years ago, and while reading through it, I discovered many grammatical errors, so I'm going to have to go fix that again. It was a little crazy and something I really enjoyed writing, although the last bit of it I wrote when I was half asleep, so that might explain some of it. I hope you enjoyed the story, and please review and respond at my page on Archive of Your Own. And if you have any ideas of prompts, go ahead and send them to me. Who knows? I might get inspired and actually write something.